Thank the Lord tonight for his love, for his mercy and faithfulness. I'm glad that one thing we can do is lean on his loving breast. We can place our trembling hand in his and be safe. Lord laid a few thoughts on our heart. Don't feel like we have a lot to say, but want you to pray for us. We want to be a blessing, and that's all we want, you know, just try to be a blessing and encouragement by the help of the Lord. I thought about the Word of God and the Spirit of God, how the Lord desires us to be blessed in our soul. You know, he desires truth in the inward part, not just to the point that he wants us to be truthful and sincere and loving and serve him in sincerity. Not only does he just want that, but he wants us to be acquainted and grow in grace and knowledge of him. He wants us to realize more of the depth of his love and of his ability to help us and of his strength and all. And these things that come to our life, I believe with all of my heart, and I think the Word of God bears that out. It's not coming to us, thank you, brother, and the Lord is not letting it come to us as some haphazard thing. But as we draw nigh to God and lean on his loving breast, you know, he can take us on to deeper depths and higher heights. I thought about is thinking on a few scriptures in Isaiah, and I want to refer in my mind and just call attention back to the time when God created man in the beginning, put him in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord created, one scripture said concerning Jesus, that all things were created by him and for him. And God wanted to come down and did come down and commune with them, and he created them for that. And the Lord saved us not only for us to make it to heaven and be redeemed from sin, but the Lord wanted to commune with us. You know, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. He wanted our mind and our hearts and our thoughts to be lifted toward heaven in gratitude to him and taking in more of his fullness and knowing more of his nature to the point that we could just reflect his love and light to others and be blessed in our soul. And I'm just thankful tonight for the faithfulness of the Lord. There's so many scriptures. One scripture I thought of there in 2 Corinthians where it said, "Why we look not at the things that are seen." And how that when Jesus was teaching and choosing and leading his disciples, and he was teaching them and all they could grasp and all. But then when he was resurrected and the Holy Spirit come, he was made more real. But God wants to comfort us, dear ones. He wants our hearts to be blessed by his word and by his presence of his spirit to be faithful to us. I want to read a few passages in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Notice some verses, how it reads. It's places in the New Testament, and of course all the prophets bear that out, that all of these prophets that prophesied of Jesus was prophesying of a day of grace when God would come near to man and reveal his righteousness in our inner man, inner being, to our heart, that we could actually be benefited and be drawn closer to God and have a greater knowledge of the Holy One of Israel, that we could have the blessings of the Spirit of God in our lives to comfort us. Before we read these scriptures here, I'd like to call our attention where that Jesus, you know, there in the 14th chapter of St. John, he said, "Don't let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," and went ahead to tell the significance of his coming here. And he said, "Now I won't leave you comfortless, and I'll send you another comforter, and he'll be with you. He'll abide with you forever. I'm going to the Father and all, but said he'll be with you forever. And I was thinking here of the prophet Isaiah in looking forward by the Spirit of God and seeing the glories and the power and effectual working in the heart of mankind through the person of Jesus, how beautiful it is, and it's to us. You're one just not just to some particular generation, but it's to us. It's to all that are far off. It's to us. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. As I was thinking on these scriptures, and I had a lot of thoughts here, and we've got problems in our country and in other countries of a lot of things that are involving imprisonment, literally, and of course we know the Lord is touched by that. But dear ones, I'm thinking tonight mainly how the Lord wants our souls to be free. Yes. You know, Jesus said over in the 8th chapter of John, he said, "Now if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In other words, you can have the divine love of God ruling and living in your heart till the fear will be done away. And he said, "Perfect love casts out fear." And go on and said, "He that feareth not made perfect love." Well, we all are human beings, dear one, are prone to be possessed with fear and with doubts and the things that are seen around us. But thinking of the Holy Spirit, when we earnestly and oftentimes we maybe don't to the fullest extent get down humble enough till some of these things come to us and remind us how much we need him, how frail we are, and how gracious and how great God is. But just notice now the promises and the prophecy that as Isaiah was seeing here, said he has sent me to preach good tidings to meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captain and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I thought about our hearts. You know, we read, I believe it's over in the 24th or 34th chapter of Psalms, whichever, where the psalmist is saying that I sought the Lord and he saved me from all my fears. You know, the Lord wants our minds and our hearts to be free, and he wants them to be us to entertain his love and his faithfulness. And even though we don't see him, Peter speaks about, though we don't see him, but we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, because we believe his word and his promises that he's made to us, and we venture out on them. Now, I was thinking these different things that you might say in studying the word and prayerfully seeking God, that we might be inclined to look at as duties that God's requiring of us, and I like to think that's all right. But I do want to emphasize, by the help of the Lord tonight, dear ones, I believe with all of my heart here that more than anything that God is desiring of us is to our heart and mind be yielded to him. You know, why I say that, that Paul over in the 8th chapter of Romans, in one place in referring to the battle of the fight of faith, you know, he says, "I with a mind serve the law of God." In other words, didn't mean that he sinned with the flesh, but he said, with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, he kept his body and brought it under subjection, but the way that he did that was through the power of the Spirit, yes, of bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And the Lord, if he can have our hearts, if he can visit, and if he can dwell, and if he can lead, and walking and be in our thoughts and be in all the things that we might say endeavor to do, that we acknowledge the Lord and everything. I think that's really important. It said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion. mourning is, I guess everybody knows what it means as good as I do, but it said to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I was thinking, when God is in our heart, and we have a song, that song I believe is 249, said, are you adorning the doctrine, making attractive the way? And it goes on to said, if Christ dwells within you, his beauty your soul will array. Something to this effect. So I'm warning us to keep in mind that, dear ones, there isn't anything that we can do physically with our hands or with our lives, literally, that will reflect Christ in a greater way than the beauty of God's love in our heart and the confidence of his grace in our soul to keep us, thinking about over in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, where the prophet is speaking about the fast and how that the people endeavoring to fast, and he spoke about the fast that the Lord was pleased with there in the 58th chapter. And in other words, he was pleased with God being reflected. Maybe we'll just try to get that and read a little portion of it. I haven't read it in a while, but it's here in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. It said that it might be called a trees of righteousness, here that the Lord might be glorified. And 58th chapter of Isaiah says, wherefore, third verse, have we fasted? Excuse me, I seem to have a little trouble with my throat. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Well, the main thing I want down a little further here, which says, sixth verse, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? And notice what it says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting forth the finger and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hunger, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, the darkness be as a noonday. I was thinking how the Lord, the darkness and the light, is often referred to in the scripture, has to do with love or hatred or malice as darkness. You know, the Apostle John in speaking about the love of God, I believe it's over in the fourth chapter, maybe, wherever it is. It said, if he that saith he loveth God and hateth his brothers in darkness, and knoweth not God, you know, and so on. But the love of God in our heart and comfort of the Holy Spirit in our heart can and will lead us in the way of a fruitful life, that our heart can be nourished and blessed, and that we can receive the beauty for ashes, that we can have the oil of joy. Let's read a little more here in this 61st chapter. To appoint unto them, back to the third verse, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, desolation of many generations. I thought how if the Lord can have the preeminence in our heart, what a blessing it'll be to us. The ones, there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can acquire in ourselves. It seemed like today the Lord was impressing onto me how much we need the Spirit of God to lead and to guide us. Mine went to that chapter in the 121st Psalm. It said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I believe we could kind of transpose that into pertaining to our individual lives. Except the Lord have preeminence and right away in our heart, we won't be able to please the Lord with our lives. But if our heart, if he has our heart and our affections and the things that we're desiring him more than anything, I'm thinking how pleased the Lord is when we look to him. I think of the Psalms, the scripture over in the 50th Psalms we might read relating to glorifying the Lord. There's a lot of good scripture in Psalms in the 50th chapter, but I'm thinking particularly about how it speaks about offering praise to glorify the Lord. We're down toward the last part of the chapter. We'll read again about the 10th verse and read down. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats, offering to God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High? I thought about what it means to the Lord for us to be really thankful to him in our heart. You know, he deals with us as we're sons. I thought about our children and dealing with them as sons and daughters. We chasing them, we endeavor to provide for them, and we endeavor to instruct and protect and lead and nourish and cherish them in ways that would be for their benefit. And dear one, God does that for us. And he wants us to acknowledge that. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Seems like we've had lots of things coming in and among our congregation and the saints scattered near and far around. But the Lord wants us, back to the song we sang about one thing I can do. I can lean upon our loving breast. He said, here, call on me in a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The Lord wants us to, in any time that we have a need, whether spiritual or physical or financially or anything that really is concerned, he wants us to call upon him. He wants us to acknowledge him in all of our ways. He wants us to desire and really look to him to guide and supply that that we're not able to do ourselves, and to lead and to guide us alone. That have called upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The last verse in this chapter said, whoso offereth praise glorifies me. And to him that ordereth his conversation right will I shew the salvation of God. I'm sure that this is, you've heard me say it many times, but it's been a real strength to me. Scripture over in the sixth chapter of Micah, I believe it's 6 and 8 or 8 and 6. Let's read that. Now, I was looking to the Lord one time in desperation, and I say desperation because it was in my heart and mind. It seemed like I was desiring, Lord, I want to be give some assurance, some security. I need to be strengthened in my inner man to know and to feel what you expect, what you want of me, and what you requiring of me and all. And Lord gave me this, and it's been so precious as I refer back to it. You know, dear one, the Lord wants to be a father to us. He wants to be our healer. He wants to be our shepherd, our commander, our king, and everything that we need. In Micah, it's in the sixth chapter, and we might read up about the sixth verse and down a little. It said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Remember we read during Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and said, then we read during Psalms about how the Lord is not needing those things. Said, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands around, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And here now is the scripture that I want us to get a hold of by the help of the Lord. And a few thoughts we've tried to touch on tonight to me is pretty well summarized in this. Said, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, I want us to get a picture here a little bit. I've gotten some lessons out of looking on what I'm about to mention. We look around at the little children. I've got some great-grandchildren, some of the others around here, you know, have, and grandchildren, and it seems like when we're younger, we don't quite understand and grasp that the tenderness and the real need of that real young little child of needing correction, needing love, needing security, and all of the things that's going to make him or her be, you might say, normal and happy people. But when we get older, we see that. In other words, a little child, I don't want to be personal here to cause any thought of question or negative feeling, but I do want to make a point. I've been dealing with my little children and grandchildren, and I trust that some of you may be the same way. I heard Sister Eck one time preach a message along the line of the thought that I'm fixing to mention. It seemed like that some little children, for whatever reason, are just loving. You just do a little something for them, and they just appreciate it. I've got one little one, you know, and they get ready to go somewhere. I say, now you come give me a hug. And he just smiled and come give me a big hug. And that really means something to me, you know, and the fathers and the grandfathers. And, you know, God, that means something to God when we actually come humbly to God and dependent, as it were, desiring His approval and His favor upon us. And God is not demanding something of us. I don't know how to put it in word, but as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. In other words, we don't expect our children to grasp all the things just immediately when they're young, as they'll get a hold of as they're growing up in age. And the Lord understands us. He knows where we're at on life's journey. He knows all of the things that we're faced with. He knows the battles. He knows our uprising and down-sitting and everything that has to do with our life. But He still wants to lead us along. He wants to show us more of His love. He wants us to be molded more and more into His likeness and to have more of His fullness living out in our lives, that others can be blessed. But I just seem like this New Testament scriptures in general, there's so many of them that correspond so beautifully with this thought here. The Lord does require something of us. He requires us to do justly. And He does require us to love mercy. But I thought these things are not burdensome. These things are products of our lives that will yield happiness and confidence and assurance in our lives, and to walk humbly. I thought about walking humbly. You know, the Bible said that though the Lord be high, yet has He respect to the lowly. Thinking about how the Lord, in looking on people, back when kings were being chosen, you know, particularly the time when David was the anointed king. You remember how that caused the son to pass before the Lord, and the prophet Samuel was an instrument in God's hand that He had used and was still using. But Samuel was evaluating the people in a sense that he wasn't seeing the inmost part of their being as God sees. And they thought, surely this man must be the king, and all the things that was manifestly appearing qualified to Samuel and even him, the prophet. But you know, the Lord, when David come out and he was a man, later on referred to him as a man after God's own heart, but here was an humble man. Here was a man that didn't have a lot of self-sufficiency feeling or anything. He no doubt felt dependent, and the Lord said, that's him. In other words, and He went ahead and told Samuel, said, now the Lord seeth not as man said. As man looketh on the outward part, but God looketh on the heart. So I'm saying that to conclude our little thought, that dear ones, all that we do, and all that we endeavor to accomplish for the Lord, our labors are in vain, to the point of yielding peace for us, unless we have things submitted into God's hand. But if we can get our own efforts submitted into God's hand, I'm reminded so much of the different older ministers that I've heard touch along this line. Brother Bryce Gibson was said of him, I maybe heard him say it, I think, a time or two, getting ready to go somewhere and finally zealously getting anxious maybe to get right on and going. So the Lord said, you slow down a little and I'll go with you. So I said that to say this, most of all, it's important to us is to, for our minds and our efforts and our walk and our service to God to be directed by God. You know, the way back in Genesis where the people learned, aspired to build a tower whose top might reach heaven, make them a name and city and all. The Lord went down to see that, but the Lord wasn't pleased with that. They were just building that in their own strength. They wasn't looking to God. They were just endeavoring to reach up for things higher than they was, And the Lord just said, well, we'll not hinder them from doing whatever they imagine to do, but we'll go down and confound our language. But the point I want to make is that God, the Bible speaks about in Isaiah, said that he that believeth on him, speaking of Jesus, shall not be confounded. In other words, if we can lean on Jesus, and if we can seek him and desire him to be live out and through our lives, and above all things, desire him to lead and to guide us. Brother Vady mentioned in taking a prayer request about a reference he'd heard me make about the captain on the plane. Well, dear one, the Lord does want to be our captain. He wants us to be in subjection to what his word and what his spirit reveal to our heart. And he wants us to be humbly. I hope I can get this the way I feel in my heart. He wants us to humbly be submissive to him. In other words, knowing that we are not sufficient of ourselves. We can't guide. One scripture said, Lord, I know there's not a man that walketh to direct his step, but a good man steps his order to the Lord. And just like when I was on board that plane, and we're en route somewhere today. We're on a journey, and this journey is going to be over for some of us pretty soon, and we don't know when it'll be over for all of us. But one thing we can be sure of, and we can be secure in that, if our heart is fully yielded to God, if we just walk in all the light that we have and leave our and look to our captain, he'll pilot us safely home. We won't have to compare ourselves and say, well, am I where brother so-and-so is? At the devil. Sometimes the devil will actually cause us to look around and begin to evaluate and look at things that are seen and assess our relationship with God with things in that sense too much. Over in 1 Corinthians said, why we look not at the things that are seen, but things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. They're just going to be here for a while. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God abide forever. And the things that we treasure up in our hearts and attain to that relationship, how precious it is to us now and comforting. No doubt in my mind, and I say this with all deep sincere and concern, no doubt in my mind, and I want to say it we, and especially I want to say it me, no doubt in my mind, because of lack of just really submitting things to God to a deep enough extent, probably have missed a blessing along the way. Just endeavoring, well, I'll try this, or I'll do this, or I'll work it this way, and I'll see how this will work. But if we can just get still and just submit our way to his way and say, Lord, you're the pilot that knows about life all ahead of me, and help me to go slow enough and not to make any drastic moves or be affected by what I'm meeting and the things that our life holds for me as I go along, that you'll just help me to wait on you, and when you say move, that I move, and so on. That the Lord is not requiring things of us that would overtax us, but the Lord desires to give us rest, spiritual rest. In closing, we want to mention that one scripture in Matthew 11:28 down, where it said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. To take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I thought of the peace that was in Jesus' breast, because there wasn't any ill will in his heart. There wasn't anything that would cause bitterness in there, just the real holy love of God dominating his heart, and the relationship with the Father was just very real as he just submitted his way to the Father and lived his life. He didn't have to get in a hurry. I was reminded the other day about his going to Lazarus when he was sick and all. He just realized that his Father had control of his life as long as he was submitted into his hand. So may the Lord help us and to just be still and know that the Lord is God, and he'd be able to lead and guide and to help us out of every situation. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know the Lord is well acquainted with whatever comes to pass. I desire these you thought might be a blessing to your heart.